Back in Washington, the Senate is likely to pass its own tax bill sometime next week. The tax-cutting plan is about $250 billion smaller than the one proposed by President Bush and passed in the House. It provides less tax relief for the very well-off than the president's plan and promises more in tax breaks for lower- and middle-class Americans. Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill has been the President Bush's point man on the tax cut, making the president's case with lawmakers on Capitol Hill. We spent some time with him yesterday and began by asking whether the president would sign a bill that closely resembles the one likely to pass in the Senate.
I'm one who believes next Friday afternoon we're going to have a tax bill that substantially does what the president recommended. Obviously not in the same amounts, but I think the conference bill, that is to say what will finally become law, will maintain the principles articulated by the president, but the phase-in of the different features of the tax reduction will come at a somewhat slower pace than what the president recommended.
The president's bill is skewed more to tax breaks for wealthier individuals. You've been one of the most ardent defenders of the president's approach, and that wealthy people ought to get a tax break. Explain to us why.
People need to understand that the effect of the president's tax proposals would be to have the wealthier part of the population paying a bigger part of the federal tax bill than they do now. And so it's really hard for me to understand the logic of those who make this class argument, what I call a class division argument, that somehow we should forget where the money came from when we're talking about reducing taxes. And what the president's proposals do is basically say we shouldn't give all the money back to the people that sent it in. We should, in fact, reduce the relative share of lower and moderate income taxpayers, but we shouldn't completely forget who sent in almost all the money that pays for agreed social policy purposes.
What about the logic of saying we've got a surplus, people have been sending in excess taxes, and we ought to give the money back, or we ought to disperse the money where it's most needed? I mean, why not take that approach?
Well, you know, I think there's nothing wrong with that. But again, to deal with this tax bill as though it's the only thing going on, it just seems to me to be, for those who know better, fundamentally dishonest, because this tax bill is not the only thing that's going on. And, you know, I've said this over and over again. I've only seen it in print one time, so I'm glad to have the opportunity to do this on radio. If you add up the amount of money under current law that the federal government is going to give to no-income and very low-income people, the amount of money is $3.7 trillion. And so I think to act as though one tax refund proposal stands by itself is just untrue on the face of it. And, you know, I think it's people out there get caught up in the political sloganeering that goes on here in Washington, and they believe it. So when someone says, oh my God, this is a terrible bill, it's going to give all this money to the wealthy, there are a lot of people who, unarmed with information out there, believe it. Mm-hmm. In spite of the fact that this bill is going to redistribute the relative burden of taxes to the higher income population. You know, again, most of your listeners will hear this for the first time from me, in spite of the fact it's been true since January the 20th. It's not a new fact.
You know, let me ask you this. I think there are a lot of people out there who know that Paul O'Neill made almost $60 million last year. And they wonder.
That's true.
And they wonder, can he really empathize with what average people in America face,
I think it's a very good question, and I wouldn't have volunteered this without your prompting, but, you know, For a period of time in my young life, I lived in housing without any plumbing or electricity. And when I came to Washington with a wife and two children to work for $6,400 a year, the first 9 months we were here, we couldn't afford a telephone. I know what it's like to be happy when you get paid every other week and the calendar produces three checks in 1 month and you feel like you hit the lottery. So I have lots of ability to emphasize with what people who make less money feel like.
Let me get back to the tax bill. You've said on the Hill before members of Congress that this tax bill really isn't going to affect whether we go into a recession. You still believe that?
When I went for my confirmation hearings before the 20th of January, they asked me about the stimulus effect of what the president had proposed. And I basically said, no, I don't think there's a big stimulus effect. And at that time, the amount of money that was going to be dispensed in 2001 was $5 billion in a $10.5 trillion economy. And, you know, as much as some people may have wanted me to tell a lie, I'm not in the business of telling lies. And $5 billion and $10 trillion doesn't make a hell of a lot of difference. But what's now before the conference committee probably is going to produce at least $50 billion, maybe more than that, in immediate or quick reflow of funds to the American people. And $50 billion is a noticeable amount. And while I would still say, you know, it's not going to overwhelm people, it is a significant amount of money. And the way these bills are being structured now, I think that this is going to have a significant effect on how people feel about their ability to save and invest and consume, because the amounts are not trivial.
You've probably had a more controversial few months in Washington than other cabinet members. You were outspoken as a CEO. You went before your confirmation hearing. You were very direct in what you said. You didn't always show exactly the deference that people have become accustomed to up on Capitol Hill. Your first comments on the dollar roiled the financial markets a lot. Can you be direct, speak your mind, be honest, and still be a cabinet secretary?
Well, I don't know. We're finding out. You know, in a way, this is an awful lot of fun, and I don't think I've consciously changed, but the coverage has changed, and I think it's because people are getting more used to me, and it's almost as though they've decided to let me have the freedom of telling the truth and being blunt and direct. And I'm finding there's a kinship out there. There are a lot of people who feel like I do. They just need someone to articulate it, and they all say, hey, that's really right. Why do we have all these meetings, and why do we have the staff telling us what to say? We're supposed to be smart and intelligent, and we're supposed to be doing these things, and let's take this all back.
Thank you very much, Secretary O'Neill.
My
pleasure. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill.